Communion, a testament of love church, is a little different than other churches. I mean, we take our time here because we want to understand. Communion, and yeah, you can get up anytime. You're not going to distract PT. That's me. You know, Jesus said, the Son of Man, he. You know, he talked about himself in the third person. You ever notice that? He said, the Son of Man will be in Jerusalem, and they're going to betray him and crucify him. He talked to himself about, so I can talk, I can say PT too. Talk about myself that way. Praise God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. And we'll start there. And we're going to start in verse 14. It says, when the hour was come, boy, Jesus knew everything that was going to come upon him. And now this is the hour. Now the hour has come. This is like the moment of truth where the rubber meets the road. This is where it all. And God, it says in John chapter 13 that Jesus knew at this time that the Father gave all things over into his hands. The Father gave everything to Jesus. He gave him the keys. He could have quit. He could have gone through with it. He could have not done this. He could have done this. All things were handed over to him. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This word desire, it's a hungering desire, which having one's heart set on something to the point of coveting. That's how bad he wanted this hour. This Passover was the culmination of the original Passover, its intent to deliver Israel from bondage of slavery and to get them out. But also, that Passover where a lamb was slain, the blood was put on the doorpost, delivered them from death. That's big right there. That death was judgment that was coming on the world, coming on Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world in the Bible. And the reason he hungered for this so much is because he knew he was going to be the Passover lamb. He was the one who was going to procure that freedom and that protection from judgment for every man who would ever believe in him. Verse 15, it says, and he said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. And for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup. This is big right here. That cup at the Passover table was reserved for Messiah. Actually, who would come in the spirit of Elijah. Nobody touched that cup. Jesus took the cup. And he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom come, till the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which was shed for you. It's obvious that he had already given himself over to the perfect will of God in doing this. He still had to go to the garden. He still had to sweat great drops of blood. He still had to resist the devil, and to the point where he felt like he was going to die right there. That's the language that was used in Mark, in Luke, and Matthew as well. As Jesus spoke these words, things were shifting in the spirit. It is so important, the words that we speak. When Jesus was at the Last Supper, there's a reason he was speaking these words here. Because these words were activating see if I can put this in real words that we can understand. Just as the lamb, the slaughtering of the lamb, the blood on the doorpost, they ate the lamb. They were standing there with a staff eating with us so they could do this in a hurry and get out of there. And as they left, they banged on the doors of all the women, the Jewish women. You have a Jewish woman knocking on your door, you got a problem. And they knew it. So here's what happened is, they would knock on the door and give me that jewelry, give me that gold, give me that silver, give me your clothes too. That's what they were saying. God instructed Moses to tell them to do that. Back pay for 430 years of bondage and slavery. What was that? What is it saying? Proverbs 13. It says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Rightfully, it belonged to them. Because everything that they had was gotten on the backs of the Hebrew slaves. Unjustly. You know, God doesn't have anybody working for him for free. He will not do that. He won't do it. And you think about slavery. I mean, look, a slave doesn't have he has no possessions that he can say he owns. A slave has no rights. A slave has no wealth. A slave has no choice over his future or over his kids' future. They don't belong to him. That's going around today, isn't it? See, I'm trying to get this, bring this into the now where this makes sense, so that when we take communion, we can release our faith in God's provision for a whole lot of things in this country, in this nation, in this community. Slave has no say or voice or right to express their opinion. A slave is a slave. It doesn't have an opinion that matters. Did you know now that there is a whole block, section, population of our country that feels that you don't have the right to voice your opinion? I was watching TV when Donald Trump came in to New York on Tuesday to get arraigned. And the cameras focused on this one guy, and he was on the New York State Board of Representatives. I mean, he's like the Congress of New York State. And he had these big bags. And they said, the reporter said, what is that? He said, these are whistles. Because we heard Marjorie Taylor Greene was going to be in town. And when she speaks, we can whistle and drown her out. Because they don't believe that you have the right to hear what she has to say. When people go to declare God righteousness in these college campuses and what's right and wrong, they are shouted down by people who don't believe that they have a right. See, they have a master-slave mentality, and they don't think that those people have a right. They don't have a choice to voice their opinions. Slave has no powers of choice. When Pharaoh came out with the edict to say all the male children will be killed, all the Jewish, to control the population, he didn't feel that they had the right to have their children, to raise their children. And there's a lot of school boards who say the same thing. You don't have them. Those are our kids. We'll teach them. So we're going to come against all of that tonight. A slave has no life of his own. He is owned and nothing. He is nothing more than disposable property. That's the way they look. That's what a slave is to them. No wonder. But you see, that's a perfect picture of Satan and his bondage of slavery, because the slavery of sin doesn't give you any choices. The slavery of sin brings disease, which takes away your choice to be whole. It puts you in bondage so that you cannot be free from things. It took his blood to get you free. And all of that was a picture in Egypt of God's final deliverance, which would come through Jesus. Praise God. Now, read this too. Israel's years of bondage is a type of the bondage of sin that mankind was under the foot of the devil, a position that he gained through lies and deceit, and lords over humanity with an iron fist. And if you don't believe that, I mean, let's look at history. Let's look at recent, just last, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Saddam Hussein in this century, or last century, Kim Jong-un, and the murderous rampage that he's on with his people. Most of those people are in workhouses, and they are nothing more than slaves. When you buy products from China, most of their exported goods are made through slave labor. Did you know that? That's the Chinese Communist Party. They don't give people a choice. Sin doesn't give people a choice. It had to be broken. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood. Say that. It's the blood.
Blood.
It's the blood that washes me. Praise God. You got to put your faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. When Israel was, the wealth of Egypt was transferred to them. Their possessions of gold, silver, jewels, and riches were transferred from the Egyptian people to the children of Israel. Their wealth had no more meaning to them. In fact, it says this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. It says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed. This word borrowed is not the word that we would say borrowed, like you're going to give it back. This word, it means to demand, as to hold one to account in the Hebrew. They demanded, the Egyptians, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent. And that's the same word, by the way, shoal. Shoal, as they said, borrowed, lent. It's the same word, which is a demand to take. It's a demand. Take this and get out. That's what they were saying. Just take this and get out. And they put it this way. And the Lord gave unto them such things as they required. And verse 33 says this. Did I go back to 33 there, Phil? But and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. In other words, get out of here before we all die. Just take it and go. Because they didn't have a life anymore. Because their life was all wrapped up in their jewels and their standing and their what kind of clothes they wore and everything else. God just gave it to them. Just handed it over. This Passover meal did that. The Passover meal brought judgment on the enemy, and they released it. This is why the blood of Jesus is so powerful. It's so rich and powerful because the enemy sees it, and he's gone. He hates the blood. He has no defense for the blood. The blood speaks. When he goes in the presence of God to accuse you, you go into the presence of God and you plead the blood. That's all you have to do. The blood does the rest. It speaks for you. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. It means oppressors are spoiled when we partake of this. You know, if the Passover meal back then did so much for the children of Israel, not only got them, they got... Not only did Pharaoh let them go, he demanded they go, the people demanded they go, and they got out. Then when Pharaoh changed his mind, here they are, and then God opened the sea for them. But it says that there was none feeble among them. In Psalm 105, I don't know if I wrote that down. Psalm 105:37, it says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one feeble. Not one feeble. You know, I don't know, did you watch the Ten Commandments last week? Charlton Heston and all that? And did you see these people walking and they're crippled and they're blind people? None of that, no. That was good Hollywood, but it wasn't true. There was none feeble among them. That was the Passover meal that did that. It brought healing to them. And it even went into their clothes. Because it said their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years in the wilderness. Now, if the Passover with the blood of an animal can do all of that and release all of that for them, how much more can the blood of Jesus do? How much more powerful a covenant do we have than what they had? How much more powerful a deliverance do we have than they have? How much more right do we have now to speak over our children and to call our children our own now? How much right do we have over our own bodies now? If there was none feeble among them, then why should we be feeble? Why should we be feeble in our mind and think that we're overcome with evil? Why should we be overcome in our emotions and lash out at people rather than give them the love of Christ? Why should we be feeble in our bodies and not able to go anywhere or do anything because our bodies... No, we have a covenant with God. We need to talk that way, walk that way, believe that way, expect it to happen, and bring it to pass, because the blood of Jesus has been shed and it has been accepted by the Father. And he said, yes. And he said, it's enough. Nothing more has to be done except your faith, my faith, our faith together. So now what we can do is we can look at this community and we can say this. I mean, we're two or three are gathered together in his name. He is there in the midst. And who is he? He is the King of heaven who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go forth there in the power of that covenant that was sealed by his blood. Rich. We are not poor. We are rich.
Amen.
We are not lacking. We have abundance. Look at some other, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, he made us accepted in the beloved. How is that? Through the blood. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That means we have been bought. We are his. But God, when we become a servant for God, first of all, we're a child. You have to choose to serve him. He doesn't force his will on anybody like the devil does. That's what I'm saying. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, nobody can forgive sin but God.
Amen.
Nobody. But yet, in the upper room after Jesus rose from the dead, he said, whoever sins you remit are remitted. And whoever sins you retain are retained. Where does that put us? I mean, the blood that Jesus shed is powerful. It made us one with him. And he doesn't know the difference. When Saul of Tarsus came to Damascus, Jesus didn't say, why are you killing all these Christians? He said, no, why are you persecuting me? If somebody hurts you, he takes it personally. If somebody damages you, somebody steals from you, Jesus takes it personally. They did it to him. And if the thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold. So you didn't lose anything. You just gained a lot. Praise God. You got to stay there. Sit that and ride it out. And just like on the surfboard, let the crest of the wave just bring you on in. Hallelujah to Jesus. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Where does God's grace end? Can anybody tell me? It doesn't end because it's part of him. It's who he is, and he is eternal. He has no limitations. Verse 9, he made known unto us the mystery of his will. No longer do we have to stay out in the dark and say, I wonder if it's God's will to do this or do that. No, you can know what his will is. How do you know? It's in the word. His will is his word. In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. How many people, is this on? Is this going on and off? Okay. Maybe it's my ear. In the name of Jesus. Open. How many people have watched a movie or seen a story, read a story, something about somebody who got this unexpected inheritance? And they just went nuts. They were so happy. Well, that's why you ought to read when you see, that's why you ought to be when you read this. You have been given, and not only that, but it says, you have obtained an inheritance. Amen. Are you guys?
Hallelujah.
It's like you should say, wow. And every bit of that inheritance is attainable, and you can tap into it using the name of Jesus, because that's the key that's been given to you. Verse 13 says, In Christ you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were what? Sealed. Your spirit is vacuum packed. Did you know that? Your spirit is, you're mine. That's what he said. Boom. Your spirit man was sealed. Now you still have a flesh, and you're going to have problems with pride and lust and stuff like that. Yeah, but if we walk in the spirit, what does it say? We will not. Right. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. In whom, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God. Why don't we hand out the elements, gentlemen? Are we here? Elements of communion. Dun, 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 dun.
It's been a long week.
Well, thank God it's Friday. You know, something I was... This year, on July 20th, 72 years ago, I was born in Washington, D.C. in the Columbian Women's Hospital. On Friday. And that was the way God encouraged me, because everybody was saying, thank God it's Friday. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
Oh, I want a big hunk of Jesus. Yeah, thank you. I don't want any of those little crumbs that fall from the master's table. I want the master. You know, God instituted Passover, and God also instituted communion. And just as Passover is no longer valid, it's not a valid thing anymore, because Jesus has already come and assumed the position of the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said that. Jesus said that about himself. And he is the Passover Lamb. So that now, as we drink this, judgment falls on the world, but it doesn't fall on us. Man, when darkness is in the world, there's light shining in the land of Goshen. In the houses. It said that in the houses of the Hebrews, there was light. So no matter how dark it is, in your vessel, you have the light of God. And you know which way to go. You know what to do. Praise God. The lamb was slaughtered. Jesus was slaughtered. His blood was sacrificed for us. He rose from the dead. And then he brought that blood into the Holy of Holies of heaven and offered it there. It was accepted. And in heaven, there is absolutely no question when you say, I believe in the blood of Jesus. That's all you need to say. This body was broken. You know, if he just wanted to redeem us from our sins, you know, and forgive us our sins, he would have just gone to the cross. He went to the whipping post to provide healing for our body so that the peace that was in him could be released to us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, he took the chastisement that we deserve so that his peace could come in. And that peace is the word shalom, and it means wholeness, where nothing is missing, nothing is broken, nothing is bent out of the way, and nothing is feeble. So as we drink this, eat this, it's wholeness. Say this, with this bread, Jesus broke it. When I eat it, I will be made whole. From the crown of my head to my little toe, I am whole. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I just heard a bunch of horns blasting in heaven because things are going to start happening. Lord, we lift up this community to you. We thank you, Father, that even as we have been delivered from judgment, we pray for this community that they would turn to you with a whole heart right now. You said in your word that whosoever sins we remit are remitted, and we remit their sins. And we ask, and we give the devil no opportunity to continue to harass them, to continue to lie to them and deceive them. We pray the truth come to them in every form, from every source of media, everything, that you take that over and start writing it in with glory and power to deliver this community, this neighborhood, the school, everything. Lord, that these children go free from all of that, that their parents have a resource that they can come to with TLC, with KPA, and take advantage of the things, Lord, because you said, whosoever sins we remit are remitted. In Jesus' name. Let's take this blood. This is the cup of the new covenant, he said, of the New Testament, in my blood. And he'll honor it. This is not a stretch. Now, don't think that people are going to come back on your door and say, please get out of here, otherwise we're going to die. That's not that may not happen. But what may happen is people are going to start waking up and turning on a TV or turning on a radio or something and start hearing the Word of God, or go to a website and find a message that says you are loved, you are forgiven, and let them come to the Lord. God can work if we just release our faith in his ability to work. That's all he wants to do. He wants to bring people to him. We're 15 minutes over time.
No problem.
Okay. Nobody's going to throw tomatoes or anything.
No. Nobody's throwing tomatoes.
Phil, that was wonderful worship, you and Elise tonight. I'm telling you, I could listen to you play that guitar all day and all night and sing the beautiful songs. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days I will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Amen. Praise God. Read about that, study that, the deliverance of Israel and all of the benefits that were imparted through that Passover meal and then turn over and look at communion and say, I have a better covenant than that. Anything he did for them, they'll do it for me and more. And more. And more. Well, I tell you, praise God. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our altar ministers will see to that. There's refreshments in the cafe for all who need refreshments.